Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas. So today is just a mailbag show. It's a solo podcast. Just answering a few of the questions. I did put a tweet up yesterday, I believe, just asking people if they wanted to, you know, vent their frustrations or something to that degree. And yeah, I got a lot of responses, so I'll be going through that. It was a bit difficult this week trying to organise a guest, like just with my time constraints. So I do have a bit on, so it just didn't coincide with a lot of people. So I thought, with a few people, I should say, not a lot of people. So I just thought I'd do a solo one later in the week. But I will have guests back on next week because I know you lovely listeners like to hear other people's opinions as well as mine. So yeah, no, it should be all back to normal next week. Anyways, before I get into the mailbag, I'll go through a bit of news. So I'll go through a bit of AFLW. I haven't done much AFLW news since the season ended a few weeks ago then, against Fremantle, I should say, in the first final. Good luck to both teams playing this week as well. I believe it is Melbourne and Adelaide Crows. So sorry, I just drew a blank then as to who was playing the grand final. So good luck to both those teams. They did have the AFLW Best and Fairest early this week, which was, it was a good night. I watched a little bit of it and, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Craig Starcevich Shuey and, the girls just look absolutely dazzling. Is that the right word? Yeah, they all looked absolutely lovely outside of a football field. So good on them. You know, they all dressed up and looked, sensational. And they all looked like they had a great night. And it was a very close count in the end. Emily Bates from the Brisbane Lions won the award by one vote over, I think it was Anne Hatchard and who came third? I can't remember. Teammate Marinoff. This is great podcasting, by the way. And Ash Riddell came four votes behind Emily Bates. Had a great season, Ash Riddell, with 17. I did say that I thought Jazz Garner was going to take a few votes off her during the year, which might cost her, which turned out to be the case, I guess. Jazz Garner came eighth with 11 votes and had a very good season as well. So yeah, I mean, you could say that about the Adelaide girls as well taking votes off each other. So, they came second and third respectively and got 38 votes between them. So, you could say that about that as well. But, very good effort by those girls, especially Ash Riddell had a, great season, broke records with disposals and in games and in season. So, full credit to her. Just, had a fantastic year, as did Jazz Garner. Talia Randell won Mark of the Year against GWS. I remember going to that game as well at Arden Street. It was a fantastic pack, Mark. So congratulations to her as well. Emma Carney, six-time All-Australian now and captain this year as well. She had a fantastic year in the back line. Rejuvenated. She's the only six-time All-Australian female player. She's been in every team since its inception, so full credit to her. Just had a fantastic year and was named captain as well, which is an added bonus and thoroughly deserved. And Ash Riddell and Jazz Garner made the All-Australian team with her, which was which is fantastic as well on their behalf. No surprises they made it. They'll clearly probably your best three players throughout the course of the year. Well, I mean, we did have a lot of good contributors throughout the year and discovered some fantastic talent in Bella Eddy and Mia King. So, it's obviously a bittersweet into the season, I guess you could say, like just the way they went out, but a lot of positives. I did hear a rumour a number of weeks ago, this is probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, that there were a few delistings, and one of them was Sophie Abitangelo, which was a bit of a shock to me. I'm not too sure if those rumours are confirmed. There's a few others apparently that have been delisted, Brittany Gibson, one of them, and a couple others. So, look out for that. And someone did ask me the question, DM me the other week, I can't remember who it was, sort of saying he's still going to cover the girls. I probably Yeah, look, I did an end-season review with Luke after our loss to Fremantle. I'll probably do another episode when the trade period begins. Obviously, the season's going to start in August, so I am going to do another episode then about and talk about the girls then after the trade period and see how our list is looking for the upcoming season, as well as just talk a little bit about where we need to improve and so forth. So, yeah, look out for that one. I'm more focused on the men's team at the moment because they are playing at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, we're very early into the season there. So, yeah, I mean, I'll still be doing podcasts for the upcoming season for the girls and during the season as well. I'll do an episode for them as well. So, yeah, look out for that when it does happen. Yeah, so that's it for the girls' review at the moment. Men's team. So I want to talk about a couple of things. I did see David Noble's presser yesterday. It was very different to the one on Saturday night. It was almost a bit of a backtracking. You know, just trying to reaffirm that we're only 25 games into a rebuild and... Yeah, there's going to be bumps along the way as opposed to Saturday night where he did say that... there's going to be repercussions basically, and a number of other things. There's going to be consequences. He sort of backtracked and sort of said, there's going to be changes on Saturday night, and then all of a sudden he's saying on Wednesday that's we're 25 games and rebuild. I'm not, I want to give these guys an opportunity to redeem themselves. And I do agree with that, and it does happen over a few days. You do, calm down a little bit, and after you think about it, you're probably, when you're more like less frustrated and more clear-headed, that you do make you probably make better decisions, and it's good to have a few days to think about it. And I'm not having a go on a David Noble here that he's gone from one thing to another. It's not about that. Not so much reassuring, but it's nice that he has kind of had to give players a bit of confidence, and it can't always be negative and having a go at them and stuff like that. So he's got to back the players in this week to bounce back against the Sydney Swans. So yeah, that's fair enough, I guess, from his point of view. So yeah, I mean, I thought I'd just mention that. The reserves played last week and had a shellacking as well. Now I did get I did go on Big Footy as you do and looked at a review through Ruse Fanatic 08, who did a review on each individual player and how they played. So he did. So I'll go through each player. Artu Bosnavalagi, he said, was excellent. Had a couple of goals kicked on him, but that's to be expected considering sheer weight and numbers. His kicking and composure stood out like dog's balls. Pardon the language. Didn't get to run and carry all that much because of Brisbane's press. A lot to work with. So, look, it's going to be interesting to see if he comes back into the team this week because we do lack a bit of that outside run, and a lot of pressure goes on Aaron Hall. So it might just be, a player that can give us that bit of extra run out of the defence. So, we'll see how we go. I mean, he hasn't been great in the reserves so far this season. That was his best game by a fair margin. So, we'll see. I don't think selection's for another hour. I did hear Eddie Ford is out through COVID, through the COVID protocols. So, that's one change that will come out. And I did hear a rumour that Jared Pollock is in the moon boot. So don't quote me on it. It could all be bullshit. But, I did hear that as well. So, look out for that. I'll continue here. Flynn Perez looked good, goes hard, and doesn't stop cracking in with repeat efforts. Still needs time, though, as he looked absolutely spent in the next half of most quarters. So towards the end of the quarters, he's probably... lagging a bit. I don't think he's far away from getting a game. It might not be this week, but next week or two, I think he'll get his opportunity. I'd like to see him a Good Friday at least. I love Flynn Perez. Miller Bergman looked the quickest player on the field at times. Sometimes rushed with disposal, but to be expected considering his experience or inexperience. Has a fair bit of courage considering his frame. So, we all know he's quite a skinny kid, but Yeah, it definitely has potential there, and it's good to hear that he played okay. Josh Goeder can hold his head high, look composed with the footy, and use his agility to create space on a number of occasions. Hit a couple of really nice penetrating kicks, but also fluffed one out on a full. We'll like to see him thrown in the middle from time to time. Paul Curtis, limited opportunities at the forward line, but still provided some spark and clean hands when he got near it. Rarely wasted possession. A lot of people are calling for him to come in, so that's going to be interesting. He's not far away. This is Patrick Walker, isn't it? So, yeah, had a fair few touches, but to me lacked second efforts in intensity. Just seems to coast. Always seems to take short, easy kicks rather than taking risky options. Well, yeah, in saying that, some of our players in the seniors take risky options and don't hit their targets. So sometimes taking the easy option isn't a bad thing as well. CCJ tried hard, but and had some nice clearances, but didn't really do much around the ground. I would say he was beaten on day by Tom Fullerton and Kalen Lane. Needs to find a way to get a few more chances to take contested marks around the ground. So it'll be interesting to see. I did call for him early in the week, maybe give Goldstein a rest and put him in, but at the smaller SCG ground, it's probably hiding enough for a big guy who's going to get not much space to work with, so maybe he stayed in the reserves for another week. Charlie Combin, the stats sheet doesn't tell a story. He busted his ass up and down the ground, was worn like a glove by Payne, very good defender, and was often competing with an additional one or two opponents. Competed well, and the work weight was there, but the marks didn't quite stick. Geez, I'd love to get that Max Payne at the club next season as a key position defender. I think he's got a lot of talent. But, yeah, he's squeezed out through players up in the seniors. He'd be a good get and be quite cheap as well. So he did kick a goal, Charlie Combin, but it's going to be interesting to see if he gets his opportunity this week. Jake Edwards showed some good movement and some nice taps out of the centre. Looks a far better tap ruckman than CCJ. Fluffed an open shot at goal by trying to dribble along the ground, but made up for it by intercepting the kick out and kicking goal. I did see a little bit of his tap work, and I think Teflon Snake has mentioned his tap work is very, very good. It's as good as anyone he's ever seen. And yeah, when you've had some good ruckmen over the time, like Hamish McIntosh, Todd Goldstein, very good tap ruckman. Yeah, I have seen some of his work and it is very, very good. So yeah, I mean, he's definitely a talent to work with. Matt McGuinness, first game for a long time, for about 14, 15 months. I think Matt McGuinness looked like a bloke who hasn't played much footy over the last few years. He was blowing hard despite limited minutes, battled hard but couldn't compete against the bigger bodies. I think it's pretty obvious that he isn't a genuine key position player despite his height. Still very young and very raw, very skinny, so I think he's about 195 centimetres, about 80-odd kilos, so he needs to bulk up, but I don't know, I'm not too sure how many more opportunities he's going to get. Corin Hayden looked as though he only played the first quarter, not much impact in that time. He didn't play much at all. He only had very limited minutes. And Jackson Archer showed some courage back into the packs on a number of occasions. Competitiveness is obvious, which doesn't surprise me, to be honest. If his last name's Archer, there's always going to be competitiveness, but needs to find a way to get his hands on a footy. And that's the thing with him at the moment. I've noticed that in the few games he has played, he's probably only had 2, 3, 4 touches in each game. So he's a long-term project. So, yeah, we're not going to probably see him at all this year. So hopefully he can gradually improve as the season goes on and get a bit more belief in his in himself that he can step it up and at least play good VFL football by the end of the season. All right, so I'll go to the mailbag for now. Yeah, look, that's it for the news for the men's as far as I've got. So I'll go to the... I hope that helped as well, a few reserves players that are named there, if you didn't see that on Big Footy. So I'll go to the mailbag now. So I'll go to the first person, Mr. Pink at Stairman_Dan. Nob said in his press conference that the game plan was extremely simple, and it makes me feel a bit dumb because for the life of me, I can't work out what it is. Teflon Snake came in and said, "You're far from alone. However, I think I've finally worked it out. He's copying Brisbane's game plan, but the insane thing is he's attempting to carry it off with 7, 8 immature kids in the midfield and the forward line." Yeah, look, I agree with Teflon Snake there. I've got no doubt he's copying. Like, he's got the Brisbane. Like, he was in Brisbane for a number of years, and he's trying to sort of get that like model, I guess. And he wants to play similar to that. Like, obviously, you know, when we got the ball, we want to move it quick when we can, and when we've got momentum as well, and then defend hard as. And, yeah, you sort of see Jack Siebel's taking a Luke Hodge type role in the back line, trying to be the general there. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely got no doubt that he's trying to, I don't know if he's trying to copy it exactly to that T, but he is trying to, you know, model his game around that. So, yeah, Teflon Snake goes on that it's pretty much not, you know, yeah, he's not single, you know, like it's no individual players. It's more the way it's a system that we're using that's hurting us. It's not so much the individual players. So, yeah, I'll probably agree with that. Like, but there is some players that you got to think that didn't give their 100% effort last week and they would have been singled out. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably a combination of A and B, to be honest with you, there. Teflon Snake. Mason comes in. I'm worried that the poor skills is an epidemic amongst the club. Some of our players have those inadequate skill sets and are teaching our young players bad habits. Look, it's a domino effect. I think, you know, I'm not too sure if it's a confidence thing. Like, I mean, I would love to have Troy Makepeace on this. Like, that if you miss one target and it turns over and becomes a goal, how does that affect you mentally? Does it rock the players around the field as well? Do they not want to get in and get the ball, afraid that they're going to make mistakes? Look, I mean, I was looking at teams like Melbourne, you know, top of the table teams, and their turnovers are pretty much similar to us at the moment. Our turnovers are probably a lot worse. We're probably doing them in, you know, really bad positions as opposed to the other teams. But their turnovers are pretty similar in each game to us, like around, you know, we had 70-odd last week. I mean, we conceded 80-plus, you know, 80-plus points in turnovers. We didn't get found out against West Coast because they didn't have the quality, obviously having a waffle team, basically, and probably didn't get found out enough. Oh, we did get found out against Hawthorn. It was 58 points. So we just got to bring that a little bit down. You know, we're getting 70-odd turnovers. It would be nice to get about 60-odd this week, and that's got to be the key. So, you know, just trying to, you know, not trying to turn it over in really bad positions on the ground. You're going to get turnovers. We understand that. Players are going to make mistakes. You know, that's just life and that's just reality. All the good players doing. Christian Petrarca, best player in the competition, pretty much makes, you know, does turnovers. So, you know, it's just about, you know, getting, yeah, getting those turnovers in better positions on the ground. So, yeah. I mean, you don't want to take away from, you know, taking risks and, you know, trying to move the ball a bit quicker, but you don't want to, you know, overdo it as well. There's got to be, you know, at the end of the day, if teams get a bit of a roll and get two or three goals, we've got to have the ability to, you know, just hit up targets that are good, easy targets. I mean, at the moment, a lot of players are hitting simple, missing, you know, are missing simple targets as well. So I think it's just if we can get that confidence and that belief back that, and we can get on a bit of a roll, then the confidence starts going up. Once we get two or three goals in a row and we can get a bit of a lead on teams, which I'm hoping it happens this week, then you'd be surprised that skills become, yeah, a lot better. So, you know, you look at that team game against Carlton last year, I should say, in that third quarter. We couldn't miss a target. Aaron Orr was hitting targets. Taron Thomas was hitting targets for fun, like 50 metres away. So, yeah, once we get in a bit of a rhythm and, you know, players, you know, especially highly skilled players start hitting targets, you'd be surprised that some of even the lower skilled players will start hitting them as well. So even someone like a Josh Walker. So, yeah, no, fair point, though. John Millionis, yes. The two rucks ain't working. I give it one more game before we have to revert to one full-time ruck, X or Goldie, and one addition key forward who rucks part-time, CCJ or Combin. Time to go with Perez, Goto, Hayden, in lieu of Turner, Polak, and Josh Walker. I'll start with the first one. I think they're trying to, you know, look, we're going with Todd Goldstein as pretty much a 70-80% forward. Like and the thing with Todd Goldstein, he looked very good in that he looked our best forward against Hawthorn in round one. Bit quieter last week, and yeah, obviously no opportunities last week. You know, against Brisbane with the way the ball was delivered. It didn't matter who was there, whether it was CCJ, Todd Goldstein. So, I'll still go with that at the moment, Todd Goldstein playing as that forward. And, you know, Tristan Sherry is playing as that ruckman. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions about that. Charlie Conlon will come into the team eventually. And I think he can play, you know, Todd Goldstein, Charlie Conlon, and Nick Larkey. I think, especially Charlie Conlon, he's very mobile, and so is Nick Larkey. Nick Larkey works very hard. Yeah, his defensive work is as good as any key position forward in the game, probably better than any key position. And I think Charlie Conlon's got that too. So, yeah, I'd be happy to go with Goldstein as that forward at the moment that just chops out Tristan Sherry. So, and, yeah, Perez, go to Hayden. I think Kane Turner cops a bit of a... Like he cops a bit of how do we say it? A bit of negativity. He's a defensive player. I don't think a lot of people see that. When he's a defensive backman, he takes the best little forward. He would have been perfect, Charlie Cameron. But problem is, we couldn't have him back there. You know, because we wanted to tag Lachie Neal, and he was very good in the first half on Lachie Neal. I think he kept 9-10 possessions. So, and when he plays forward, he does that defensive work as well. He kicked two goals last week. So I think he cops a, I think he's, he's that defensive player. And, I think it's a bit unfair on a kid that he gets singled out sometimes when we do get a shellacking, that he doesn't do enough. I think he's very important to the team. So, you've got to have those run-with players. Paul Palopolo. From Hawthorn, here's a name I just thought off the top of my head. Very good defensive forward. Used to take out the and kick goals himself. He used to take out the best running defender. So he would go to someone like a Sam Doherty Mackie from Geelong and so forth, and just play his role for the team. He wouldn't get many possessions, wouldn't kick many goals, but he just did a role for his team and it's very important. So I'll see a bit of that with Kane Turner at the moment. Fredo Frog chimes in. If Roos are serious about next 5 years, agree. Turner and Pollock not long term and must be out. Hall must see targets or suffer same fate. Don't care about number of touches. He's turnover king. Zerhard needs big rethink of position too. Yeah, Zerhard's a bit out of form. He started off slow last year. He hasn't kicked a goal so far this year. I'm confident he'll turn it around. I don't know if it'll be this week. This week just doesn't sit well with me for forwards. So, hopefully he can get in more involved in the game. So he's had a slow start, but you don't drop him. Especially with Eddie Ford going down with COVID as well. So, no, I'm happy, to keep Zerhard in. I think he'll turn it around soon enough. I think it's a bit reactionary to drop him so early. He's a very important player to our team, and he could be that second forward this week, second tall forward basically. Where against Sydney on a 50-cent piece, he could be very important, and I've always believed that Zerha's best work is done defensively, and when he's done those big tackles, and he's chasing down players and really crunches them. Yeah, and really does those big bumps and so forth when he puts his body in. And then the offense sort of comes after that. So I always think that's where it's at with Zerha. And if he can do that, if he can start doing the defensive things first, then his offense will come. And I'm confident he'll bounce back pretty quickly. Another question about Sherry as first ruck. Only had 8 possessions. I thought it was 11 for some reason. Maybe it was 8. Goldie only. So that's another question about Sherry. Look, the thing with Sherry, it hasn't been given to him. He has worked for it. I think the idea was that Callum Coleman-Jones was going to be the ruckman this year with Todd Goldstein playing forward a bit. But, that practice match against Sydney where Callum Coleman-Jones missed with a leg threw a spanner in the works. So they tried to play all three in the first round, probably hurt us, and probably cost us in the end. But Yeah, he really, he's earned the first ruck role, and he deserves all the opportunities. And he's probably been as good as, he'd probably be leading our best for Ferris right now with how good he's been. Him, Luke McDonald at the moment. So, I think he definitely deserves his opportunities. So, yeah, I'll answer that. North Melbourne Economist came in as well, sort of. I talked about the ruck situation as well. David Whiteley came in. Brisbane and Secunda were seriously poor as recently as 4 years ago. Without making excuses, shouldn't we just accept that we're bottom four and work on developing players? It seems to me that poor skills are a product of being under intense pressure and being thoroughly outmatched. Look, it's a fair point. We know we're in a rebuild. I think the biggest concern that we've just regressed a little bit, Dave. I think, we expected to see little improvements this year, but at the moment, it's just gone a little bit backwards. We haven't been impressive in the first 3 weeks. And, we accept we're a bottom four team. And just the effort hasn't been there, particularly last week. We got smashed in contested possessions, got smashed in possessions in general. Last quarter, we just gave up 29 inside 50s, 9 goals, 5. We laid less tackles than Brisbane did. So, I think that's a frustrating part with it all, Dave. We are rebuilding, and we can accept our bottom four finishes. But, this is a club that prides itself on hard work. We're a blue-collar club, and, we're just not seeing it at the moment. So I think that's where the frustration is. But if we can, I don't expect to beat Sydney this week, but if we can, match them in contested possessions, which is a big indicator of how you're going to go, if we can get close to them, I'm not saying we have to beat them, but if we can get, within 10 contested possessions, it's going to be competitive performance, whether we turn the ball over or not. So that's got to be the number one indicator this week, like how we're going in contested possessions. And, I think that's got to be the focus, and David Noble should put it up on the whiteboard on how we go on each quarter in the contested possessions. And I believe that's one of the most important things that we can consider or use as a framework this week. So All Sports Considered came in. Only frustration is trying to identify our game plan style. I'm happy with recruitment, talent levels, off-field stability. I see Shaw season is our first year of the rebuild. More good than bad. I'm not going to disagree too much. I felt like Shaw's first season was with, it was pretty much Brad Scott's list. And, we still had a lot of mature age bodies and so forth. And, after not last year, the year before, we delisted about 12 of those players, Ben Jacobs, Majak Dawes. So I think we've gone, pretty hard on the rebuild as soon as David Noble came into the club. So, game plan style. Look, we're still trying to work that out as supporters ourselves. It seems to be a bit different each week. I felt like the first 2 weeks we were trying to go a bit more defensive this year. And then last week, it was a bit of a mix of trying to attack then trying to defend. But in the end, we did nothing. So we pretty much didn't defend and we didn't attack. So, it's... like Teflon Snake says, I think we're trying to model our game on how Brisbane play. So if you ever watch Brisbane, how they're playing now, and if you... Don't watch a replay of last week, but if you watch them this week, you'll pretty much see of where we want to be in 2 or 3 years' time. I've got no doubt about that. Jules Luca, at Jules Luca, Jay Luca, pretty sick of fans going on and on and kicking the team while we're down. Yes, we've been horrible, but yes, we're in a long rebuild. They showed they can turn it around last year. Just breathe, we'll get through it. I like it, Jules. Yep, very good point there. So, we've got to be more present in the moment. Breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. Fair point. We've got to be patient. We understand that. Like I said, last week was just it was just frustrating. Just the lack of effort. So, Ruse Suet, is Nobes going to drop players or is he going to give more chances? Well, he kind of hinted at the press conference, so the teams will come out in 20-odd minutes. He did kind of say that he's probably going to give players a chance at redemption this week. So I'm going to say there's going to, like, Eddie Ford, by the sounds of it, is out. So I was going to say there's going to be about three changes this week. So, yeah, that's a guess. So LDU comes back. Eddie Ford comes out. You know, hopefully, I'd love to see Flynn Perez, but maybe another week. So we'll find out soon enough. Luke Calazarine at Luke underscore Calazarine. So two rucks isn't working. We have a key defender problem. Why not try Sherry in the back line like we did with Madge? He's very mobile and can clunk it or bring it to ground. Would solve two problems at once. I just worry about his versatility around, you know, trying to keep up with a player. Look, they're fair points. I don't think he's as mobile as Majak. Like, Majak was very quick off the mark, had an incredibly athletic leap, and just had better hands. Yeah, he was he just looked like a natural defender. I did read his book too, Majak Dool, last week. I finished it off in a few days, and yeah, great book if you ever get a chance to read it. I'm quite happy with Sherry in the ruck at the moment. I think he's done a very good job. So look, yeah, I mean, worst comes to worst, you can always throw him there, but yeah, look, at the moment we stick with him in a ruck, and yeah, I mean, I'd like to see more defenders Marty Hoare would be great to have on our list, because he's been okay in the reserves as well. So, but yeah, I'd like to see more naturally gifted defenders rather than actually giving a spot to Tristan Sherry in the back line, just trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. That would be more, look, it could, yeah, it could work. Who knows? It might happen one day. But yeah, and you're not the first one to mention that as well, Luke. So yeah, but we'll see how we go with that. But I'm happy to keep Tristan in the ruck for the moment. And the thing with Tristan Sherry, each week with one hit outs, I'm not too sure about hit outs to advantage. He was very, I think he got like 11 against West Coast, which is quite good. I'm not too sure about last week, but we did get winner clearances as well, which is about the only thing we won on the ground. So, and we seem to be winning the clearances every week. So we've won them the first three rounds. So he's given first use to our midfield. Bogan underscore Jetty. At Bogan Jetty. So, oh, no, it's no underscore. It's just the thing on my screen. Sorry, Bogan Jetty. Jack's been great, but it's time to hand over the captaincy to the bloke who's bleeding for the team every week. Captain Simpkin seems the way to go. Look, I think, you know, at the end of the season, it will be a transition over to Jai Simpkin or Luke McDonald. It'll be one or the other. I'd like to see Luke McDonald get it, but it wouldn't faze me. Jai Simpkin got it as well. So, yeah, look, it will happen at the end of the season. I think it's a bit overrated, the whole captaincy thing. Like, besides tossing the coin and being the face of the club when the media conference comes up on Thursdays or whatever it is, and, yeah, a couple other things, you know, what else do they do? I mean, there's a leadership group at the club. You know, there's 8 or 9 leaders. There's a lot, you know, like Aiden Corr is the leader. Luke McDonald is the leader. Jai Simpkin is the leader in the middle. Jack Zeeble's a leader. So, yeah, I think it's a leadership group. You know, like, yeah, I think it goes through, you know, 10 to 12 blokes, and they do name a leadership group, like a Kane Turner's in it. So they're the ones, you know, like, I'm not too fussed about the captaincy, and I know a lot of people put pressure on it and think it's a be-all and end-all, but I might be the only one that thinks like that, and I could be wrong, but I see it more as a leadership group rather than just a one leader. I mean, there's no, like, if you go to war, I mean, there's a general, but, you know, there's sergeants and so forth. So there's a number of others, people around them. I could be wrong about that, but that's the way I see it. So old school jock at Can't Stand Ya PE. Okay. Sorry. So Stevenson can be an X factor and a match winner, like he proved against West Coast last year. Do you think he should spend more time in the midfield like Essendon has done with Stringer? He was very good in the second half last week, Jaden Stevenson, playing predominantly midfield, 18 touches and 10 touches in the last quarter when no one else could get near it. He was about the only player that could. So, yeah, look, I think we'll see more of that. I do think his best football is a mix of both, like when he does play forward and plays in the midfield. But, you know, I don't know what his preseason was like. You know, his attitude was quite poor in the preseason games and deserved to be dropped based on that after round one. I don't know if he had a poor preseason where he wasn't fit enough or so forth, but you know, got his opportunity last week and took it with both hands. I felt the second half of last week, and you know, I think we will see more midfield time this week as well. So yeah, no, it will happen. I still like to see him forward as well. Like, you know, he can be an X factor up forward as well as a midfield. So yeah, I mean, like you said, that West Coast game wasn't a fluke. I think it's not the outlier. I think, you know, he's very talented young boy, and his best football, I believe, is like maybe 60% forward, 40% midfield, or 70% forward, 30% midfield. Lou Italiano. Blind Freddie could see that. Maybe Freddie into the coach's box. So yeah, he's on board with that. Okay, so I'll go to the last one. John Dwibb. This was a direct message. So he says, "I love your work on the pod. Thank you, Luke. John. Sorry. Would be good to hear what you and your guests. Don't have one tonight. Your thoughts are on the way we managed to rebuild after 2016." I thought it was the right decision, but we got spooked in 2018 and 19 and didn't fully commit to it. So, yeah, oh, sorry, there's more here. Now the new football department has to do a full rebuild where our senior players aren't good enough to help protect our young players. While I enjoyed the wins in 2018-19, I think those years have severely sent us back and it is the reason why we are in this position now. If we did it properly, we would be coming out of the rebuild now instead of being in the middle of it. Love to hear your thoughts. Keep up the great work." Well, thank you. Thank you, John. Yeah, look, it was interesting because, you know, I mean, we pretty much, like, all those years where Brent Harvey, Nick Del Santo, Drew Petrie all got delisted, we kind of just, we went into 1 year, we cleared up a lot of salary, and, you know, we wanted to play those kids for 1 year, and then it was, you know, we almost got someone like Dustin Martin and Josh Kelly. You know, if you got Dustin Martin, you probably get Josh Kelly, and then we're looking at a completely different story here. And apparently Dustin Martin, a few weeks before the season finished, pretty much agreed that he's going to come across. And, you know, you look at the impact he made. So, and we tried a couple others. We tried Andrew Gaff. And in the end, you know, we tried to get the big players. You know, we tried a number. Jordan DeGoey, I think, another one. There's been a heap. You know, I think Isaac Keeney as well. So we tried to get the big fish, and it just didn't work for a couple of years, and we just stagnated. So I think we wanted to take the next, you know, we wanted to use the money, and we kind of panicked. You know, we got, instead of getting, you know, a big name player, we thought, oh, well, we've got to do something here. So we got Dom Tyson and Jared Polak. You know, we probably overspent on them a little bit. And yeah, then, you know, I mean, Brad Scott was trying to make progress, and we kind of went backwards, and then, yeah, we sort of, that was it for his time. And then Reece Shaw came in, and we kind of looked good for half a season. I think he had 7-4 and 7-5 record to finish the year. So we keep going on with that. You know, like we're thinking, oh, well, we're not far from finals. And we won our first two games. We beat St Kilda in that COVID no crowd game. And then we had a big break and then came back and beat GWS when it started. Open up again, and we thought, oh, geez, we're well on our way here, and then all of a sudden it just completely fell apart pretty quickly, John, and, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and, you know, at the time I was thinking, oh, that's, you know, like getting Jared Pollock is, you know, probably one of the best wingmen in the competition. We can get Andrew Gaff, fantastic. All right, Dom Tyson helps us in midfield a bit, didn't work yet, had a number of injuries and so forth, so, yeah, I mean, we can't look back now. We are where we are at the moment, so... Yeah, I mean, fair point though, John. Yeah, it would be nice, but we all wanted to live in, you know, back in 2018-19, no one was really saying much. So, yeah, it is what it is now, John, and we are where we are now. And, it's going to be, you know, probably another tough year, and there's probably going to be more tough losses like last week, but, yeah, it is what it is. Anyways, that's it for your comments. Thanks to everyone for sharing that as well. I really appreciate it, you coming on. Venting, it was a good therapy session for myself. So, yeah, I hope you all enjoyed that. I will be back next week on Monday. So, yeah, I'll do a podcast then. I think the team might be coming up soon. So, I'll have a look if I'll have a quick look if there's any team changes at the moment. I can't see any, so this is riveting podcasting viewing. So no, I can't see any team changes at the moment. So I'll leave that as it is. I'll see what happens with that. I'll leave it at that. Don't forget to like, subscribe to the show. It really helps out the show. It goes out to more platforms. I really appreciate all the comments, retweets, likes that you do for the show. It definitely keeps me going. And that's it. I'll have to end it now. I will go and make some dinner for myself. I think my wife's going to make something. I can't cook for shit, so I'll have to, put something in the air fryer for my son. Anyways, that's it. I'm out of here. I've talked too much shit, as you can sort of see. So, I will leave a shout-out to Ross Glendinning. Bye for now. So I've just seen the teams before I finish. R2 Bosnavlagi comes in. Flynn Perez comes in for his first game in about 20 months, which is very exciting. I've shown enough in the two or three games that he's played that he's pretty much, hasn't lost a step by the looks of it. And, he gets good opportunity this week, which is going to be great news for him and the football club. And the last one, LDU, comes back in after his concussion protocol. So three very good ins that are coming to the team. I'm very happy with the changes. Tom Powell, Jared Polak missed it out through injury. I'm not too sure how serious Tom Powell is. Jared Polak was in a moon boot, apparently. Maybe, he had an ankle injury round one, so maybe that's flared up again. Probably two players that might have been dropped anyway. From maybe through form, based on last week. And a couple of other players. Aiden Bonner has been omitted as well. And I think there was one more. Was there one more change? I believe there was. I'll have a look now. It is Eddie Ford, of course. Health and safety protocols is out as well. So that's unfortunate for him. Just recently got an opportunity and unfortunately has to miss out this week. So I do like the three ins. Three players, one midfielder, obviously, and a bit more pace, Flynn Perez and R2 Bosnavlagi. So we want to get a bit more quicker. I do like those changes, so we'll see how we go with that. And that's it. I'll end it there.